Welcome all of you to the Church of God on this special occasion. Every time during Good Friday and Easter, we'll see many people going to the church. And Christians will remember the crucifixion of the Son of God. And he rose from the dead on the third day. And Christians will say that salvation will flow from him to the rest of human race. And those who believe in him will have eternal life. I came from a non-Christian family. I always have a question which I cannot understand in the past. So what's the relationship between a Jew who died for us 2,000 years ago and me who live in this present day? Why are so many people believing in him today? Why are so many songs being made for him today? Why are so many messages preached for him? And we know that for these 2,000 years, because of believing in him, many people were persecuted and they were even martyred. So we know what is God trying to tell me today. We thought that Jesus was a Jew. When he came, he's a Jew. But in fact, he came for the whole human race. When he came and died on the cross, this is the most classic moment in history. Some people say in the course of 2,000 years, this is the center point of the entire human history. And why is that so? So we must understand what's the core problem of mankind. And that is the problem of sin. The entire mankind is being bound by sin. But many people didn't ponder much about sin. Sin is the most severe problem of mankind, and it is also the eternal problem. But usually what we consider as problem are the problem of poverty and being jobless. Or marital issues or health problem. But the Bible clearly tells us that all these are surface problems. Every problem originated from sin. And mankind doesn't like to talk about sin. But sin is a fact. The Bible most directly tells us that there is sin in human soul. There are sins in the human mind and will. So whatever men choose, speak or do is all sin. And some people, they committed severe wrong and they were punished by the law. But some people, nobody knows about their sin. But when he's about to leave the world, his conscience will make him very afraid. And most people didn't commit very severe sin. But even though those are not grave sin, but it affects people around them. So whatever they speak or done, it create problem or hurts for people around them. So even if in a simple family, we can see the problem of sin. You speak a word to hurt another person. And so some wives say, my husband is not nice to me, so why should I be good to him? So there's this very strange retaliation. So once there are retaliation, it will be passed on to the next generation. You thought it's between two persons, but actually when the children grow up, it also affect them. So we cannot understand how sin is passed on from generation to generation. Sometimes we say, we just randomly say or do something, but we can see the consequences. So the Bible tells us that sin certainly has consequences. Usually you will see two kinds of outcomes brought by sin. One of the consequences is what we call natural retaliation. It's like I provoke him, he provoked me. I hit him and he will beat me back. It's very natural. So natural science will also know this. Natural psychology will know this. So if you anyhow spend today, you will not have enough money tomorrow. This is something very natural that even science will know. But there's another kind which is known as invisible retaliation. So it is not so direct and science cannot study this. But this can be confirmed in human hearts. For example, sometimes you are cheated by someone. And you think that you are unlucky. And as you get very troubled, then you remember that you used to deceive others also. So now you gave birth to your children and you see that he's disobedient to you. And you're very helpless over this. Then you recall this is how you treated your parents in the past. So you have this kind of association. So you don't know how this happened. You cannot calculate this by science. But there is this invisible working. It's like whatever you have done, after that, there will be certain consequence. It seems like behind the scene, there's this principle working behind people and behind situations. And people gradually call this as karma. For example, some people, you look at the person, you are very angry with the person because he has done wrong. Then you tell him, you be careful, if the law didn't punish you, heaven will punish you. Because people believe in karma, believe in heaven. So they didn't know who is this heaven, but they know this, there's this law of heaven. So sin certainly have two consequences. What we can explain, we call it consequence. And what we cannot explain, but it happened, we call it karma. So sinners will surely face consequence or karma. So if humans, we do not go against our conscience, we will be able to see this. And you will also think in this way. So if you believe and if you can see these two consequences and karma, then you will believe in sin. Because sin is a fact. Because sin is realer than money. Because if something happened in the world, there must be a cause before this thing happened. There must be first someone who hurts others, then there will be things like murder that happen later on. So a person first tells a lie, and then what comes next is five other lies. So sin is a fact. So no one can deny or quibble about this. You can choose not to think about it, but when things happen, you will remember it. And so the Bible clearly tells us that sinners have two most serious problems. I mentioned two consequences. Now I'm going to talk about two problems. Now you say we cannot do anything about it because everyone sins in the world. The generation before and after me and my generation all sin. Indeed, the Bible tells us that humans have sinned, and that's true, but this is not the worst case. But what is worse is after we sin, there are two more problems. First is man did not acknowledge his own sin. He tried to deny it. Usually at the workplace, when certain problems arise, we will say, this is not because of me. I didn't expect such a serious thing would happen. Because humans do not like to take the punishment or rebuke of sin. Those of us who are married and with children, we know. You love your children and you find them very adorable. And as they grow up, they are not so obedient and problems arise. And the two parents cannot teach the children. And when you're very troubled, then you talk to your spouse and say, I'm not like this in the past. It must be because of you. It must be due to your genes. But if you reflect properly and you think about it, actually your child is in a way resembling you. And you cannot explain, but the sinful root of you can be seen in your children. They used to be very adorable when they are young, but we are not sure why they become like that when they grow up. And they start to tell lies. And they started to become selfish toward you. And they started to not listen to you. And you keep scolding him, and when he grow up, he has a mind of his own. And he will just tell you, no, my problem comes from the two of you. So this is something we humans will know naturally. And now modern day people, we have this very strange thinking. And you just say that there's nothing right or wrong in this world. What is right or wrong, true or false, these are all human opinions. So there's nothing really right or wrong.
It's a matter of opinion.
So whether it's homosexuality, marriage, pregnancy before marriage, all these things are just a matter of opinions. So all these things make sinners very happy. It sounds very right until you steal his wallet. And after you steal from someone, he will call the police and say that this person have violated the law. You just say, this is a matter of opinion. I merely took it, but I didn't steal it. So this is self-contradictory. Because a person do not want to confess, admit his own sin. So he deny his sin. So he used all kinds of ways to erase his sin. So he labels sin as not a sin. And this is the problem of this generation. So after sinning, the first problem is not to confess, admit one's sin. That's the first thing. And the second problem is after sinning, they want to repay sin on their own. So humans are very smart and he think that he can make up for his own sin. So he do a lot of good, accumulate a lot of merits. I've committed so much wrong, but I've done so much good. And so he become a bit proud. And so in order to soothe his own conscience, he did that. And human religions are formed because they know that they are wrong in their conscience and they want to make up for it. But you know why is it that you cannot pay back? The Bible tells us that sinners ourselves, we by ourselves cannot repay it on our own. Because it's not just you want to make up for a few bad things that you have done. Because after atoning for it, after that, we will still commit wrong. And after that, we will commit more sins and wrongs. And why are you like that? Because you cannot help it. Because we are born with this sinful nature such that we keep on sinning. And we are born with this. And the Bible clearly tells us our state. And no one can continue to want to do good by his own decision or will. And you and I both know this. This is the helpless state of mankind. And that's why God sent his one and only Son. He sent the one who is sinless to bear all our sins. Man cannot pay back for his own sin. Man cannot atone for himself. But the sinless one came to shoulder and bear everything. And when he came, sinners nailed him to the cross. So with the most cruel punishment, they nailed him to the cross, tormented him until he bled to death. And you are such a sinless person, why did man do this to him? Because when he came to this world, he only preached one message. And he said, I am the Son of God. Those who believe in me will have eternal life. actually the most severe sin of human is pride. You are just a man. Why do you say that if we believe in you, we will have eternal life? So humans hated him and crucified him. He was born as a Jew. But when he died for the entire human race. For 6 hours on the cross, he bore the sins of mankind. When he was on the cross, criminals or sinners heaped insults at him and said that if you are the Son of God, save yourself. You say you can save the whole world, you come down and we'll believe in you. But he didn't come down. When people of the world all heap insults at him, he was silent. Because he's bearing the sins of everyone whom he loved. He himself is sinless, but he wants to bear the sins of everyone whom he loved. Everyone whom he loved, they all sin. It's just like your dearest child committed wrong and your teacher keep scolding him and you cannot say a single word. You cannot do anything, you just have to bear with it and withstand it. On the cross, he made the greatest prayer and he said, Father God, forgive them for they do not know what they are doing. So when everyone is showing him contempt, he's bearing everyone's sin. Only him and Father God knows. And so when he prayed like this, Father God heard his prayer. So God laid all the sins of mankind on him. And God's forgiveness come upon mankind. In just that 6 hours, the most glorious Son of God was hung on the cross like a piece of flesh. And sinners all heap insults at him. And he bore it all. And when he bore it, God's forgiveness come upon mankind. Because someone have bore the wrath and punishment of sin. 6 hours and he paid it all. So the Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Son of God says that those who believe in me shall not perish but have eternal life. So through the cross, God's salvation comes to mankind. So that is the most classic moment in the entire human history. That's the greatest moment till today. To me, is it still effective to me, a Singaporean, in the 21st century? It is surely effective. Because this sinner also need the forgiveness of God. And some people will ask, on the cross beside Jesus, there are two other criminals also being crucified. Now, these two criminals, they have committed the most severe sin and they were crucified. And it just happened that they were crucified at the same moment as Jesus.
Now,
They were crucified for their own sin, not for the sins of mankind. Every time when we read about this, we thought that between the two criminals, one is good, one is bad. But in fact, both of them are bad. Both of them committed sin and they didn't repent. Both of them are evil men. So if you read the Bible carefully, so when these two criminals were just being nailed to the cross, their unrepentant and savage temperament make them very afraid and bitter. Usually when sinners are being convicted for their sin, they show their ugly side. So when they were nailed to the cross and suffering physically, they turned their eyes to Jesus and they rebuked him. And they also heaped insults at Jesus. You thought you are the Son of God? Then you save yourself. So both of them did the same thing. But as hour by hour passed by, they see this amazing thing that this Jesus Christ on the cross, he didn't even speak a word of insult. He was completely gentle, good, and loving. And he saw all these sinners. He saw the one who nailed him to the cross. And as he shed his blood, he prayed to Father God, you know, God, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. This is something we cannot imagine. So for us not to mention pain, when we are uncomfortable in our heart, we want to prick at others. Sometimes we ourselves have wrong, but we want to push the blame to others. But Jesus, he's totally sinless and people treated him this in this unjust way and he forgave them and asked God to forgive them. So this scene touched the heart of one of the criminals. And so God's love drew near to this criminal's heart and touched him. And suddenly things change. So one of the criminals started to see his own sin. So when God, so full of grace and without hatred, revealed love, this criminal himself know about his sin. So the other criminal said, if you are the Christ, you come down. You save yourself first, then save us. But the other repentant criminal said, shut up. Don't you fear God? You yourself is a sinner. We are crucified because we deserve it. But this person, he has not done a single wrong thing. And so this criminal let out a greatest cry and said to Jesus, when your kingdom come, please remember me. So Jesus Christ, at his most painful moment on the cross, he said this. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. So today salvation has come upon this criminal. So this criminal became the first one who was saved in New Testament. So Jesus died. Later, this criminal also died. And so what does this tell us? This repentant criminal, he was nailed to the cross. He has not done a single good thing in his whole life. Whatever he has done hurt others. And he also have no more have chance to do good. He also have no chance to get baptized. He has no opportunity to lead a Christian living. He totally have no chance to make up for his own wrong. But God told him, today you will be with me in paradise. And this is the noble part of the Christian faith. It's not about what you can do. It's about God's forgiveness and your repentance. And as a conclusion, these two criminals tells us one very important message. It tells us that not everyone in misery will believe God. So some people think that, you know, there's certain people, they have problems with their marriage or they have illness, so they are more likely to believe Christ. And so they say, you Christians always look for the sick people to evangelize. But do you think that all sick people will believe in Christ? Will all people with terminal illness believe in Christ? I've been a pastor for 18 years and I tell you it is no. Sometimes when people are miserable, they have this humble look. But when you ask him to turn the sovereignty of his life to God, he will say, it's okay, I will depend on myself. I have doctors to help me, counselors to counsel me. I have my own way. And thank you very much. Now, not everyone who are in agony will believe in God. Who will believe? So it's not only when you are crucified on the cross, you are very miserable, or you have terminal illness, then you will believe in God. It's not about your misery, but about your repentance. Some people, they are miserable, but they didn't repent. But some people, they repent. Then you say, this criminal, he's not bad. He's humble enough to repent. But the Bible didn't say that. So the Bible tells us that when they were first being hung on the cross, both of them heaped insult at Jesus. So humans, when we are born to this world, we are actually all proud and we worship ourselves. The greatest sin is to believe in ourselves. So people are proud and they want to be their own master. So the two criminals, they committed wrong and they were helplessly being nailed to the cross. They have not done anything good in their life. And so they cannot be humble. But the love of God, even at the weakest moment of Jesus, he can manifest that love. So God's grace came upon those whom he loved. God first loved mankind. God first sent his grace into the hearts of mankind. So many people heard the gospel and the word of God. But who can be touched? Who received the love of God? Only if you repent and you humble down after hearing the word of God. you know that there are many things in which you are helpless in your life. It is not that if you go to church, you can be saved. But you must repent. You need to humble down before God. For everyone who believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Let's all close our eyes. Lord, we give you thanks. You are the righteous God and you are also the loving God. You know our helpless state. You know we cannot pay for our sins. But you sent your one and only Son to bear all our sins. This is the greatest thing in the whole of human history. And personally, this is also the deepest thing. Because this is not just a one-off decision, but our whole destiny. Lord, please have mercy to those who have responded to you after hearing today's message. Lord, you have already seen that they have given their lives to you. At least they've made this decision. Please continue to work in their hearts. Use your love to protect and to attract them. And there may be those among us who have heard the word and were touched, but they didn't raise their hands yet. Please continue to touch them. Or we have been to church, but we are still in misery. Lord, but your gospel is still the same. Whenever we are humble, you will lift us up. You will take away our shame. You will remove our misery. You will save our souls. Lord, we thank you. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.